Let's turn to my own here. Let's turn to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter number 21. Luke chapter 21. I want to preach to you a little while this morning about patience. I detect a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of anxiousness even here this morning. I don't know why. What are you supposed to do on the Lord's Day? Supposed to go to church. Amen. First day of the week. Amen. Jesus rose from the dead the first day of the week. Amen. The disciples gathered together the first day of the week. This is not the Sabbath day. This is the first day. Amen. Yep. Sabbath is on Saturday. Yes, sir. Right. Saturday is a day of rest. Mm-hmm. Sunday is a work day. Growing up, we were taught in church that Sabbath, the Sunday, was a day of rest. You weren't supposed to go to work. You weren't supposed to. That's not right. Yep. Sunday's the first day of the week. Yep. It's a work day. Amen. Christians work for the Lord. Amen. They start the week off by going to church. Going to church is a work. It don't save you. We're not saved by works. But this is where we come and learn to work. I don't see why Christians should be anxious about going to church. Amen. Feels a little anxious this morning. Maybe a little rushed. Maybe a little anxious. Maybe a little worried about what somebody might see us doing online. What are they supposed to see a Christian doing on Sunday morning? Brother Mike, they might come and close down our church if they find out we're having church. They can put chains around the door. We can have church in the parking lot. Can't we? They might fine us. Well, we have to take up an extra offering. I sure am glad they're not burning folks down at the Coliseum anymore. Not in America anyway. Well, they might. See, it's that mentality. Something might happen. Well, I'm not going to live that way. Amen. We might get COVID if we go to church. We might get it at Walmart too. Did you think of that? You've been down there. Yeah. Me and my bride went out to eat last night, 35% capacity. Hard to get a seat when there's 35% capacity. You know why? Because there's about 75% capacity going on in there. People do what they want to. Amen. Amen. Isn't it interesting how they got these masks going on? You got to have a mask to slow the spread. But they didn't give you that at first. You got to put on the mask because that'll keep you from getting COVID. They might not have said those exact words, but that's the indication they gave you. But some of us are smart enough to know that a little bitty, little microscopic virus can get through a silly little mask. So they had to change it on the CDC website to slow the spread. We're going to slow the spread. Isn't it interesting how evolution caused this COVID to change into a more spreadable disease to where they're saying now, mask ain't going to do no good no more. It's almost like there's somebody up yonder. That's thwarting all of man's efforts to save himself. Amen. God can get past your mask. Amen. So when you're dealing with such a unstoppable force as our God is, it's best just to trust Him. Yeah. Yeah. Now, from time to time, you know, you work and you try to do your best and you get in a rush sometimes. And sometimes I find that it's good to just drop your shoulders. It's amazing for such skinny little scrawny shoulders how much tension these things can build up. I'd hate to have shoulders like Eric Tweed's or something like that. Boy, if I did, I'd probably be pushing the ceiling up. But even my scrawniness, my scrawny little self gets all tensed up, and I got to just drop them. Sometimes I pull over the truck and just sit on the side of the road for a minute. I better relax a minute before I smack somebody. Stressed. Dealing with all these people. My favorite shirt my wife got me 2 Christmases ago. It's got the Grinch in bed with the covers pulled up to his chin. Say, sometimes I stay in bed because it's too people-y outside. It's too people-y out there. The world's infested with people. It's like the preachers say, if it wasn't for people, the ministry would be wonderful. Yeah. There wouldn't be much use for you then. Right. Amen? Life is pretty tough. The liberals would like to tell you you can make it fair for everybody and everything, you know, just you got to put up with everything. Well, you don't got to put up with everything. You don't have to put up with everything. But I will say this. People are not always going to be what you want them to be. So in this life, whether it's dealing with people or whether it's dealing with hardship or whether it's dealing with temptation, whatever the case might be, you're just going to have to be patient. Right. You're going to have to wait a little bit. And with some people, you're just going to have to be long-suffering. You've been putting up with some people now all your life. You've known them all your life, and they're terrible people. You can be nice about it. Oh, we just know how Uncle Fred is. We know how he is. Been putting up with him all these years. Just kind of got used to it. But one of these days, we're going to make a difference on old Fred. And probably 50 years from now, Fred's going to be the same way, and you're just going to be more frazzled, more put out. The only person that's going to change is you. You're going to get worrieder and worrieder, and he's going to keep on living life. Seems like they enjoy themselves more than other people, these jerks. That's part of what makes them jerks. They're making it hard for everybody else, and they're having a good time doing it. And you're the only one put out. They're not put out. I think we should all be more like the jerks. Hey, well, it seems to be working out for them, don't it? They seem to be happy the way they're living. We were talking about stinky people during Sunday school. You should have been here. We have such great fun in Sunday school, all 12 of us. You know what the bad thing about stinky people is? I mean, people who stink. People who smell bad. People have a bad odor. I'm not talking about stinky, just the passive term. You know, this day stinks. I'm not talking about the passive form. I'm talking about the actual form where people don't take baths. You know what the stinky thing about stinky people is? They don't know they stink. That's true. Sometimes you come home from work, your wife says, "You stink." "Well, I didn't smell nothing." Ain't that right? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? Well, people don't know they are the way they are. Just like you don't know the way you are. You think you're perfect. And I can see the people who are normal and know they're okay, you look around while you're preaching, they're going, "Yeah." The ones who think they're normal and everybody else are crazy, they're going, "You tell a little joke and everybody in the room laughs except for that one." It's not only that it's them that's the problem. They're demon-possessed. That's right. Now, I could a preacher, and especially a pastor, is supposed to be grave. He's not supposed to be funny all the time, everything. But you know that's a great tool to use to see who's demon-possessed in the church. So, and you don't have to work at being funny. If you work at being funny, it's not funny. But most of the time, you know what's funny? Truth. Just say the truth and say it matter of fact, and people will laugh, except for the demon-possessed jerk. I don't know who he thinks he is. Funny's funny. I don't care who you are. It's just funny. Things are humorous. And we're people. That was pretty funny. But not that. There's some demon-possessed folks in the church. I'm right. This guy, he's... No, you're messed up a little bit. Amen? So there are people like that. There are people like that. But you know what? You got to have patience. There's hard days. I don't think there's anybody above 30 years old that doesn't know that life is a hardship. You know, maybe if you're under 30, I don't know. Some people got a good grip on reality, but there are, as the times increase, I think they're teaching people that fun is more important than anything else. Nothing wrong with fun. We were talking about that before church. Fun is okay. Somebody was telling me about a guy that stood up in church and said, there's no such thing as fun in the Bible. Well, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Where do you think merriment comes from? It comes from fun. A lot of people think they know the Bible and they're just playing along, trying to have things their own way. They don't know nothing about the Bible. Don't know nothing about it. The Bible doesn't say, you don't care nothing about the Bible. You ain't read the Bible. Just shut up. I strongly disagree with what you said about the church this morning in Sunday school, Brother Mike. Well, you're wrong. Well, what did you say, Brother Mike? You should have been here. Oh, we talked about some very controversial things. You know what I noticed? I noticed this over the years. Every once in a while, a preacher comes along. They make a big deal out of him. He's got all these rules. He's got these wonderful slide programs. And he's going to tell you what's wrong with rock and roll. And he's going to tell you what's wrong with women. He's going to tell you what's wrong with, you know, all this stuff. And they're the ones that end up leaving their wives, messing around. What's up with that? Everybody made a big deal. This is the greatest young preacher there ever was. No, he's not. No, he's not. How do you know, Brother Mike? He's super spiritual. No, you just look at him. Just look. And if you need a second opinion, listen to him for a few minutes. The proof's in the pudding. Amen. But you got to have patience. Got to have patience with people. People like your wife. Brother Mike, could you read the scripture, please? I'm a little bit impatient with you. Well, that's what we're preaching about, patience. Have a little patience. All these people worried about, preacher, you didn't read a lot of scripture. You didn't read a lot of scripture this past week, but I'm not down on you about that. I didn't say nothing to you about that. The Bible says nothing about fun. You didn't read the Bible last week. Shut up. People worried about the Bible. 30 hours of TV last week. You were, Brother Mike, you didn't read much scripture today. I only needed one verse to get the drop on you.
Amen.
Amen. You don't need an AR-15 with 100 rounds when you can take a guy out with a .22 Derringer. I'm spiritual, Brother Mike. I need about 40 verses. Okay, we forgot the first one that you was talking about. Amen?
Yeah.
We'll stick with one. We'll get to at least one today. If we can keep you patient long enough. What are we preaching about? Patience. Patience. Let's start reading in verse number 10. We'll get to this other verse 19, but we should probably start with verse 8, but we'll start with verse number 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, means a lot of different places, diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues. We're talking about Jewish things here. And into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. When these hardships begin to come, it's going to turn to your testimony. Wouldn't you like to have a good testimony? Wouldn't you like to have a good testimony? Some people only have bad testimonies. And from time to time, somebody will get up and they'll tell you what God delivered them from. And I like to hear that, but I also like to hear a good testimony. Now, I want you to understand that anything I say, I realize all flesh is grass and flesh is weak and men are tempted and strange ways, and men are just men. Men are simple. But did you know, just a context of what I'm talking about, I used to drink a little bit. I was saved. Got saved at a young age, grew up, joined the Marine Corps, drank a little bit, a lot, drank a lot. Cussed, said things I ought not say, did things I ought not do. You know that? That happened. That really happened. I never stole nobody's car, but my uncles taught me how to steal cars when I was a little boy. They showed me how to do it and different things like that. Never stole no cars, but a lot of influence there. I could have went the wrong way, but I didn't, thank God. Thank God my mama was carrying me to a church where they told me some good things and some good principles and such and such. You know, but I could talk about bad things that happened, all that kind of stuff. Those are true. I can say this, I read my Bible now. That's a good. Now, we're not really talking about what I've done, but we're talking about what God has done in me. God saved me, and if you follow the Lord, he'll change you and strengthen you and inspire you and lead you. That's a good testimony. And what's being said in this passage here is there's going to be some wars. Verse number 10, nation rise against nation. Wars. Earthquakes look like the planet getting out of control. Of course, you know these earthquakes are caused by global warming. Your SUV has caused this. God and his design of the planet to do things right on time, that has nothing to do with it. Amen? Just like everybody trying to slow the spread, and the actual mutation in COVID is to make it more communicable. Nothing to see here. Pay no attention to the little guy behind the curtain. It's nothing. The one thing that you're trying to do to prevent it, God changes it so it's not going to prevent it. Coincidence. Just like a monkey becoming a man, just a coincidence. Amen. Well, the hardship, the fighting, the nature, all this stuff, he says going through this hardship, not only that, but men are going to be against you. So you got nations fighting, and you know, to a great extent, the world's trying to sweep you up in all this stuff. You know what? I really don't want to be involved with government. I would like, now it's not always true, but I would like to be governed by God. I would like that to be the case. Men, including myself, do not always submit ourselves to God. So at some point, God did institute human government. There has to be somebody in charge. The Bible says that those people that God ordained to be in charge are there for to praise the good and to punish the evil. So if you know a government like that, that's a good government. Anybody know a government like that? I don't know. But I'm not going to, you know, Nicaragua's against Haiti and Haiti's against Dominican Republic. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. That's stuff, political news to get you swept up. And that's where your shoulders get, oh, man, oh, man.
Yep.
What are we going to do? Get you swept up. Nation against nation. When you know what you, you know what you can do to influence that, you can go and vote. How's that working out for you? Amen. You don't have to be a prophet to tell how the national thing is going to go. Every class that graduates is going to add a whole society of new voters that are socialists, been trained to be socialists since they were in kindergarten. You put them in the school, you paid for it, your money trained them to be socialists, and as you go forward, there's going to be less conservative votes and more liberal votes because that's the way they're being trained in school. Yep. All these old people are racial bigots. Communism and socialism that has never worked anywhere in the world, it's the way to go. My teacher told me so. And that's the way they're going to vote. Yep. They'll sit in your house and say, yay, Trump, and they're going to go to the polls and they're going to vote liberal because that's what their teacher told them to do. And the bowling alleys and the bars are going to get fuller and fuller. They'll have their mask on. And the churches are going to get emptier and emptier and emptier.
Right. Yeah.
But the world just can't have a bunch of people that trust God more than they trust a mask. They're going to educate that out of them, and that's the way it's going to go. One day they'll come get guns. I don't think they'll have to. I don't think they'll have to come collect guns. They might, they could. I'm not saying it's impossibility. But eventually, these little minds full of mush will say, yeah, we got to get rid of these guns here. My teacher told me. These bad guns. No, it's these bad people. But at any rate, it's that the national political kind of stuff. People are more interested in a bus crash in California. Get on the news. Well, a bus crashed today and injured 3 children in California. Well, you know what? I really don't care. The preacher said he didn't care if a bus with little kids crashed. No. Wait just a minute. If one crashed in front of the church, I'd be out there helping. But this idea, you know, in the Bible, these guys were sitting around. They said, Jesus, did you hear about over there in Siloam, this tower fell, killed all these people? Jesus said, let me paraphrase what Jesus said. So? Jesus didn't say, well, what he actually said was this. He said, you think it happened to them because they're sinners? You think they're sinners more than everybody, so this bad stuff happened to them? Except you repent. What you're supposed to be worried about is you. Not what's going on in California. World news is the worst thing that ever happened to this country. I mean, I could say that about a lot of things and be pretty much accurate. But what's going on, now if you're talking about missions and you want to go start a church in California, now we're talking. Well, they had a mudslide in California today. What difference does that make to a guy in a cornfield over here in Delaware? Well, some rain will be here in about 2 weeks. That's about all you can... Oh, that's so terrible. If it's so terrible, load up your pickup and go over there and help them rebuild something. But you get swept up over all this... Oh, this bad stuff happened in Iran. Well, they can't shoot bombs that far.
Right.
Why is it so quiet? You're pretty boring, Brother Mike. I realize that option, but you know it's the truth. You get on this world news every day and you hear about all this stuff going on all around the world. You're so worried about it, you're going to pull your hair out. Oh, my goodness, all this bad stuff. But your neighbor lives next door to you. You don't even know his name. Hadn't checked on him. Hadn't witnessed to him. Come home and complain to your wife. This guy I work with, boy, I tell you what, he's such a rascal. Your wife says, what's his name? We need to pray for him. Well, I can't think of his name. You don't know the people around you. That's true. But you're worried about the world events. Current events, they called them in school. They was trying to train us to be good little globalists. You got to know about the world events. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I do not. When it comes to a worldwide commission to preach the gospel, okay. Okay, I'm with you on that because it's a commission from God. But I don't take my commission from a third grade teacher that it thinks it's important for you to know how the genders react in Iran. Because that means nothing to me. On a grand scale. I said something a few weeks ago. I don't know if you took it right or if you took it wrong, but I want to be as clear as I can. We're talking about people in the congregation who might think they're being preached at, and I said something along the lines of, we're not thinking about you. When I say that, I mean, we're not sitting around thinking, oh, this brother right here, he's so bad and he's so mean, I'm going to sculpt a whole sermon. That's not to say we don't ever think about you or pray about you or wish you well or pray for you or any of those terms you want to use. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the whole world. You're sitting here worried about the whole world and you think the whole world's fixated on you. Oh, they're really after us. They're after me. They're after me. No, they're not. No, they're not. You think too highly of yourself. That's what it is. And what's more than that is that causes you to be anxious and worry about every little thing. Oh, they're looking at me. They think I'm ugly. They think I'm... So what if they do? So what if they do? God said when this whole thing winds up, there's going to be nation against nation. There'll be that to worry about. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. The world is going to start acting crazy, and it is not your SUV that's causing it. It's God that's causing it. And then he says here in verse number 12, he said, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on. This is personal. People are going to be personally against you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings. He said, I think the world's going to be more political. It will be more political, but it's going to get more religious. The world is going to get more religious. And as far as the church is concerned, now we're talking about Israel in this passage. I want to be clear if you're, you know, hyper-dispensationalism. I want to give you the, you know, exact context. But in regards to the church, oh, there's going to get real hard on the church. It might get real hard on Bible believers, but it's not going to get real hard on the church. Because the church, Revelation chapter 3, when God deals with the last church, he's not dealing with people under the iron thumb of communism. He's dealing with people, as far as the church is concerned, he's dealing with people who are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So you conspiracy theorists can put that stuff on the shelf, relax a little bit and drop your shoulders. The church isn't in a condition to draw that much persecution from this world. The world's going to go right along with us. Rich. The church. I'm not talking about a false church. The church at Laodicea is a real church. It is the real church. And it's rich. It's rich. That means you can pay the COVID fine. It's increased with goods. It has need of nothing. Now, if you drop the conspiracy theories and Larkin and all that stuff and just read the Bible and believe it for what it says, you can, well, wait, preacher, I need something to worry about. I need something to be anxious about. Well, be anxious about people going to hell. Amen? Amen? Every sermon doesn't have to be a political tirade. Oh, I'm about to meddle. I'm about to meddle, Tommy. I say every sermon doesn't have to be a political tirade, but that gives me an open door to say this. Every time you sit down at the supper table, doesn't have to be a political tirade. My 7-year-old boy a couple of weeks ago was worried that Donald Trump wasn't going to be the president. I don't want my 7-year-old boy worried about who's going to be the president. And I can say this, and I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Who the president is not my boy's concern. You ought to teach little 7-year-old boys, they got to do a little work here and there. They got to have some responsibilities. One thing I'm trying to get across to my 7-year-old boys, don't give no girls no black eyes. Amen? That's good to teach you little boys. Amen? I'm not teaching them girls are bad. I want the boy to like girls. Amen? Are you with me right there? I ain't got many amens during the course of this sermon yet, but I'd like to get one right there. Teach my boy. But you know, I don't remember ever as a 7-year-old boy. I climbed an apple tree one time when I was about 7 years old and climbed way up there. Apple tree's not that big, but I, as a little fella, climbed way up there. And I fell, and it was the most cartoonish thing you ever seen. I fell over backwards, and my neck caught on an apple tree, got a lot of limbs if it ain't been taken care of. And the back of my head caught it and swung my feet around. My feet caught a limb and down I went and my neck caught it. And I must have seesawed down that tree until I landed flat on my back. Ugh. And you know they got apples on the ground, they rotten. Them rotten apples full of bees. What is a bad day? That was a bad day. And when I was 7 years old, this ain't no lie, I could go off from the house and wander through the woods and back through the mountains, and I just had a time to be home. Had to be home at supper time because the family all ate together. Boy, that's one thing that's gone by the wayside this day and time. You got to be home by supper time. After supper, I could go back out in the woods. You had to be home before the street lamp on the side of the old country road came on. We only had one, but it was pretty close to the house. Amen. I could get in the creek. Boy, get in the creek and run and play. But now it seems like we've got, besides, I'm not even talking about what mamas and daddies will allow. By the time a kid's 7 years old, they're freaked out. If you go out of the yard, somebody's going to steal you. It's possible. It really is possible. But they didn't invent child stealing in 1992. So from now on, the world will be walking around like, somebody's going to steal me. People live just that anxious. Bad things might happen. I'm not saying that nothing bad's ever going to happen. But I'm saying people constantly worried about things. Jesus said, nation's going to fight against nation. People are going to make it hard for you. The weather's going to make it hard for you. I'm about to lose my ever-loving mind with how much it rains in Delaware. Listen, it's not just that, but the devil is conspiring against me because it's cold on Mondays on my day off. It's extra cold Tuesday night and Wednesday night when I got to work. And then Thursday day and Friday day that I work, it rains all day. I have to sleep all day on Saturday to recover from the stupid schedule that I work. And it's nice and pretty outside. I'll bet Barack Obama has my work schedule. And he's got that little button thing where they control the weather. And if that thing isn't working real good that day, he has those planes fly over and dump all that stuff out, and it changes the weather. There's people that thinks just that way. I'm a little bit convinced that it's true. But there's some people, they leave their house, they look up. Make sure there's no black helicopters. And they walk around with their shoulders up to their ears worried. And what you need to do is, well, the Lord said we was going to fight nation against nation. And people was going to be extremely harsh and rough and try to have their way with us. Amen? Amen. And the planet was going to act crazy. Yep. COVID's going to come around. Yes. Diseases are going to pop up. Several years back, I was sitting watching TV of all these Chinese and Japanese people. You know, you see little pictures of them, commercials and stuff, and different kind of documentaries and stuff, and see these Japanese people walking around with masks on all the time in society and think, what they got going on over there? And the thought occurred to me, how far is America going to go before we have stuff like that going on? I mean, but look back in America's history. You got Spanish flu and stuff like that. That wasn't Obama. It was the Spanish. I guess they had a swine flu. I guess the pigs are conspiring against us. Everything that happens on this planet is not conspiracy. Every time your wife keeps a little secret from you, she's not plotting against you. She's not cheating on you. She might be saving up for a birthday party for you or something like that. Amen. She stuck with you this long. Chances are she likes you pretty good. Amen. 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 We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. Had some eyebrows raised, but we'll talk about it again next week. Verse number 13, it says, it shall turn to your testimony. You know, whatever you're going through going to turn to your testimony. You know, we're worried. And it's rightfully so to an extent. We're worried what other people think about us. That's right to an extent. We want to have a good testimony to others. But you know who your testimony is most important to? That's you. It ought to be. I talked a little bit this morning about adultery, a little bit, about men cheating on their wives with women and women cheating on their husbands with men. Talked about how we've looked at that in a hyper sort of way, to where everything about a woman is fornication, everything about a man, fornication. We talked about that a little bit, but you know what I'll help you in regards to that is, let's just suppose just a minute that I was going to cheat on my wife. I said it in Sunday school this morning, and it has everything in the world to do with what I'm talking about here, talking about patience. Let's suppose, and God being my helper, I'll never do this. Let's just suppose I was thinking about cheating on my wife with some other woman. You know, there's a lot of hurdles. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. And I don't know about women. I've never been a woman. I'm never going to be a woman. I don't know how women is wired up. But I'm just talking about a man right now. If I did see a woman, I thought, well, there's a pretty woman right there. And if I did see that she had characteristics and qualities that I like, oh, that's a pretty interesting woman right there. And maybe you think in your mind, boy, if I wasn't married, I might ask her out on a date. Well, that's dangerous thinking already if you're married. Dangerous. But you can't tell me that there's very many men on the planet that don't notice a pretty woman when he sees her. Maybe you're different. I don't know. Maybe you're better than me. But if I see a woman that's pretty, pretty woman, better mind my own business. Amen? But let's just suppose that I entertained that thought for just a minute. Now, you got to jump some hurdles. Let's say that woman has a husband. We said, yeah, Brother Mike, I see what you're talking about. You might get beat up. I'm not talking about that. That's a possibility, sure enough. Ain't it? Mm-hmm. If I'm 90 years old, I would say, and Ruth was 90 years old, but she's 8 years younger than me, so. If I was 90 and she was 82, I still don't want you asking her out. I might not be beating you up at 90 years old, but hopefully we'll still have gun rights. You going to shoot somebody over an 82-year-old woman? Yes, sir. I think Sarah was about that old. Boy, that boggles my mind, some of these Bible stories. What would Pharaoh want with an 80-year-old woman? I heard a preacher one time say, she wasn't pretty. She was, the Bible says fair. That just means, no. She wasn't just fair. She must have been fine. Yeah. Amen? If I'm old and looking for a wife, it probably ain't going to be no 80-year-old woman. No. Maybe there was something different in the water back in those days. I don't know. And you might get beat up by some lady's husband. That might be true. But you're not thinking about that thing right still. Here you're looking at a man, all he has is wife. So, well, he's got a nice car and all this stuff, he'll be okay. The house don't mean nothing. The car don't mean nothing. You don't know what the makeup of a man's mind is. All you got to do is think about what you would think if somebody took your wife. Do you know what it takes to think like that? Patience. In this world we have today, I got to have what I want right now. I got to get right now. You're not thinking correctly about stuff like that. I wish I could learn lessons, Brother Heath, but I don't learn lessons good. Everything that I ever had to have right now didn't turn out like I thought. I need it. I need this. This is real important. I need it. Let's go ahead and spend the money on it. Let's put it on a credit card. Get it. Yes, I really needed this. And use it one time, and 3 months later, well, I really need to use that. I'm going to spend a lot of money on that. You know what that is? You acted on impulse instead of having the patience to think about it. Somebody said a cross word to you, and you're ready to punch them in the mouth, but you didn't stop to think about. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the hardship. You don't know what's going on. You're overreacted. I got to have my respect right now. They can't talk to me like that. Don't they know? There might have been a reason. Might have been a good reason for it, for what they said or what they did. But see, you measure everything by yourself and by your needs. And boy, I tell you what, disrespect me. And boy, I tell you what, you don't give me my way. And I know what's right. And that's a dangerous way to think, even if you're right. Yep. Yep. Patience. The Bible also deals with patience in regards to long-suffering. Long-suffering. You're going to have to put up with some things. Yep. Well, look what this verse says. Let me read these things, and I'll get on with what I'm saying. He said, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and you shall be betrayed both by parents. Wouldn't that be bad? Wouldn't that dishearten you and discourage you to be betrayed by a parent? The person who's supposed to be there for you? And let me say this. I don't expect nothing from my parents. I'm 50 years old. That's a good lesson to learn. Amen? All I expect from my children is that they grow up and serve the Lord. Amen. I don't want anything from my children. No, I don't want anything from them. I don't want to take anything from my children. I want to give to my children. I don't want to take nothing from them. Amen. Now, that's not always, you know, sometimes I speak well of my ancestors. There were some good ones, but we're all messed up a little bit. We're people. We're awfully peoply. Amen. But people got problems. It doesn't matter if they're your kin folks or mine. Amen. When I grew up, we had to start working early, young. About, I guess, 11 or 12 years old, I was working in tobacco farms and stuff like that, working around for different folks. And you ought not smoke, by the way. Well, Brother Mike worked in the tobacco farm. We can probably go out and smoke. No, I didn't say that. Amen. But I made $24 a week working in tobacco back in the 1970s. What big money. Now, minimum wage, $10 and something in Delaware now. Boy, we missed a boat back in the 70s, huh? But my dad, he worked at a box company, a company that made boxes, cardboard boxes. Chesapeake Display and Packaging Company, he made $3 an hour. Big money. Amen? I worked in the tobacco field as a little boy, $24 a week, a big check. First time I seen that, I was like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that. Amen? You say, what happened to that check? Mama got it. Mama took it. She said, I'm going to buy you some pants for school with this. Can't argue too much about that. Now I'm a grown man. But that's just the mindset back then. But I don't think it ought to have been that way. Love my mother, not saying, not all of my troubles are due to my parents. Not saying that. Not blaming nobody else for nothing. I'm just saying, contrary to the old way of doing things, I don't want nothing from my kids.
Amen?
Amen?
Yep.
I want everything for my kids. Amen? So maybe you got a different mindset than me. But in my mindset, when I see here that you'll be betrayed by parents, and we can't put ourselves in this context because we're not going to be here at this time if we're going to be hyper-dispensations. This is tribulation stuff. But I know some of you feel like you've been betrayed by your parents and your brethren and your kinsfolks and friends. Ever been betrayed by a friend? Ever had a friend disagree with you or call you stupid or anything like that? Hurts your feelings from time to time, don't you? Verse 17, you should be hated by all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish, except for the ones in verse 16 who died. That's what it says. So Jesus talking to the alive folks. I don't know if you recognize it. Verse 16 says, they shall cause some of you to die. Now, this is not a contradiction. Verse 16, some of you is going to die. Verse 18, there shall not an hair of your head perish. You know what you are if you're sitting here today? You're a survivor. You're a survivor. The ones of you who are left, the ones of you who are still here, the ones of you who are still kicking, there might be wars in the nations, there might be earthquakes and bad stuff going on with the planets because you SUVs. The religious people might be after you. Your friends and your family treating you wrong, but you're alive. You're here. God's counting your little hairs. Might not be too hard to count them. But the Lord still knows they're there. And look at verse 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Now I'll give you one point out of the message. All introduction up to here. We'll have to, if the Lord didn't come back, we'll talk about this again sometime. You know what patience does? It prevents you from being controlled by other people, by other circumstances. Now, you ought to be controlled to an extent, and you ought to be controlled by the Lord, and you ought to be controllable, and you ought to be compliant to everything that you ought to be compliant to. There's things like that in life that we have to put up with. But he's talking about hardships, troubles, trials, temptations, family members, government members, diseases, earthquakes, natural disasters. He's talking about all the things that happen in life that cause us to walk around with our shoulders drawn up to the sky, worried, desperate. It's his fault. It's his fault. Let me ask you this. If something happens, could be anything, what difference does it really make? Who is at fault? I understand justice. I understand that. But what's it really going to change? If something's already happened to you and you're already suffering, what difference does it make? Who's at fault? And if you want to talk about major things like murder and crime, that's fine. We can talk about those things, and there are answers for that things. But the little things that bother us the most, little things people say, little things that he didn't remember my birthday. Okay. That's the kind of stuff we're going to worry about. Oh, they might come write us a ticket for having service. That's going to change your life. It's going to change your world. When I read the book of Acts, Brother Jesse was talking about the book of Acts the other day and all the things that the people went through. Those things are super huge compared to the stuff that you and I have to deal with on a daily basis. People died and people were burned at the stake and people's faith was put to the ultimate test, and we have to put up with a stupid relative who probably thinks you're just as stupid as he thinks he is. As he thinks you are. Whatever how you're supposed to say that. They probably think you're as stupid as you think they are. Because we're all just people and we all have problems. Of course, don't tell some people they have problems. But we all do. And shortcomings. God deliver us from the Baptists who have no problems, who are perfect and got all their ducks in a row. No such people. Those are the most bitter people you will ever meet. It's those super religious people who have all their ducks in a row and the only problems they can find is with somebody else. And that's where my aim is going to come back to time and time and time again, because us sane folks in the real world know that we're just as messed up as everybody else. Hey, you're not going to find me on the street in no yogurt pants. You follow me? Hey, men are now wearing those stupid things. I guess because they're gay. I don't know. I don't know that to be a fact, but it's a strong possibility. That's one of the problems in this world. But did you know I got problems too? There's some things messed up about me. Amen? Takes up a considerable amount of my time. Amen. It does. And whenever I think, boy, that Andrew, he's awful messed up. Who just called out his name? That's because I'm joking, okay? If I think about the problems that somebody else has got very long, I have to stop and think. I have to stop and have a little patience and think, well, you know, I do some pretty messed up things too. Well, can we have a list, Brother Mike? No. No, you can't. I'm not trying to put out that testimony. I still got a responsibility to God. And I recognize that on a daily basis. Hey, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on with medical things, no matter what's going on in environmental things, political things, I know this. I have to worry about me and my relationship with God. I have to worry about my wife. I have to worry about my children. I have to raise them. I believe I'm raising them correctly. I'll probably learn some more over the coming months and years that'll help me raise them better than I have before. But I'm not going to be so consumed with myself that I'm just going to take the bad practices of the past and mix them with the good practices of the past and hope for the best for my children, because that's about all I got in this world, is that little lady, them three girls, and that little terrorist that I call a son. That's about all I got in the world. That's all I got in the world. That's all I got in the world. That's all I got. And that's really my main responsibility. On top of that, I can preach to a congregation, hope I have a godly influence. And out of that godly influence, maybe it'll go out and spread into the community and maybe even over here or over there as a missionary work. I don't know that, and I'm not going to worry about that. Boy, if I don't get 50 missionaries under my belt before I die, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about that at all, because I'm only charged to do what I can do. So, oh, man, my preacher's wife led 65 preachers to the Lord. They got saved and become preachers. And boy, if I don't live up to that mark, I'm just a failure. Not even trying. Not even trying. I'm not going to bend the service to try to, in desperation, get somebody to get saved. I'm not going to, out of desperation, oh, if somebody don't get saved this Sunday, I might not be really working for the Lord. And I really have to prove myself. If I'm proving myself, I'm proving myself worthless human being. And no matter how many people have tried in this life to prove themselves to be something, the Bible just keeps saying, when you think you're something, you're really nothing. You just need to be humble, be patient, serve the Lord on a daily basis. Do what you can do right here and let California and the world go do what they're going to do. Maybe send a missionary over there to that foreign country if possible.
Amen.
Live today and take care of the things that can be taken care of today. And be patient. When you have problems with other people, pray about it. And be long-suffering. And don't let somebody else's problems have so much power in your life that it makes you lose your appetite unless you're going to fast for them.
Yep. Amen.
If you're going to miss meals because of what somebody else is doing, it may as well be for fasting rather than worrying.
Amen.
This new preacher, he's got some bad ideas. I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, pray and fast. You might turn out to agree with me. I don't know.
Amen.
Amen. Little patience.
Yes, sir.
Little patience. But I got to have it now. Little patience. But I got to fix this situation right now. Some people, boy, they got to fix. Oh, somebody said something. I don't. Boy, I'm going to get on Facebook. Won't you go talk to them?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Get on Facebook and say stuff you don't even really mean. Be loud and obnoxious when you know good and well if you had to go talk to them in person. This is how people are. They got so little grace and so little patience. Preacher, you know that Tommy Hess. Boy, I tell you. He'll know we're talking about him. He's such a bad guy, boy. He's bad. He's real bad. Hey, Tommy, how you doing? Glad to see you, man. That's a hypocrite and a fool.
Yeah.
That's the way people are, though.
Yes,
hey, Brother Mike, hey. Man, good sermon, man. Did you hear what he said? That's the dumbest thing.
How about that?
He said Dr. Ruttman was wrong. You believe that?
Mm.
Fourth person in the Trinity. Talk about that. Amen. Let's quit right there. Lord, thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We ask you to help us and be with us. Lord, I know there's a lot of people anxious about a lot of things in this day and time we live in. Restrict us a little bit and we think we're being persecuted. We really do still have it good in this country. I don't like wearing a mask. I don't like all this stuff myself and doing silly things. But it's not altogether silly, but we're so put upon when we have to change the way things are. We don't like change unless it's changing from good to bad. We don't mind that too much, but when we have to get out of our comfort zone, it makes us more anxious, and we just have a little fit within ourselves, and then maybe that spreads out to cussing our wives or cussing our husbands and maybe being put out with the preacher or those in leadership of the church. And Lord, the deacon don't know what he's doing. The pastor don't know what he's doing. I guess we'll just leave. And we withdraw ourselves into our own little world and nothing's any better there. Lord, it just leads a downward spiral of depression and foolishness. I pray you'd help us to stay away from those things. Help us to open up to one another and pray for one another. Be considerate of one another, God. Lord, you said as much as it's possible, live peaceably with all men. Lord, I know that we can be honest and we can be true and we can both be kind and long-suffering. Help us, oh God, to do these things with our own, but also with as many people as we can. Help us to do what we ought to do without the anxiety, without the nerves, without ruining our health over something that probably never will come to pass anyway. Help us, God. We're not all-knowing. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know who's behind every corner and hiding in every shadow. We don't know these things, but you know. God, you know what's going on in our lives. You know. Lord, the old song says we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And I pray you'd help us to live that way. Remember these things in our hearts and minds. And I pray, God, you'd help us to live with the peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, I don't believe we can do that without patience. You said in our patience we'll possess our souls. and our fear and anxiety, somebody else is in possession of us. Whether it's devils, whether it's politicians, whether it's loved ones, they hold the keys to our soul when they can make us worry and fret over things that only you have control over. Help us in these things. And I thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you've done in me. And I pray you'd help me, oh God, with troubles and anxieties and worries. Help me, oh God. Help these. I know if I experience them, God, we're all kin. We're all made of the same stuff. Help us, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.